Welcome to the Women Who Empower Quarterly Fireside Chat, a gathering where inspiring women come together to share their journeys, wisdom, and bold visions for the future. Hosted by myself, Dr. Alicia M. Strotter, Chief Editor of Women Who Empower Chronicle. This is more than a conversation. It's a movement to uplift, connect, and ignite the power within us all. So grab a seat, lean in, and let's embark on a transformative journey of empowerment and purpose. Welcome to the Women Who Empower Fireside Chat with Dr. Alicia and a special guest, Jenny Marmol, Millionaire Latina, as we chat about women and money, investing, and saving. I am super excited for Women Who Empower cover story guests. And we are going to be talking about the power of money for women, basically. Hello, Jenny.
Hello. Nice to meet everyone. Super excited to be here. And I can talk about this all day long.
Yes.
Which is why I love doing it. And some other women that are we were just talking, a little more afraid to talk about money. That is actually what lifts me up. So I can talk about it all for you and teach it.
Absolutely.
And hope you get it. Yeah. So I'm excited.
So let's start with this. Let's talk about your journey to how becoming what you are today when it comes to money management and becoming a millionaire or really invested. How did you get to this journey?
So I'll be honest, okay? I hated numbers when I was a little girl. Like, I hated math.
Didn't we all?
Didn't we all, right? And I was like, oh my God, and people like want to do math all day. And now I love it. Like, I can do numbers all day long. So I never thought I would be here. But I think life has a way of like putting you in the right place at the right time with the right people, with the right opportunities, right? So I was in college. I was graduating with a psych degree. I really thought I was going to go get my PhD and become a psychiatrist and talk to people about their general problems, maybe not money so much, right?
Right.
But it happened that this grant opportunity was knocking on my door to become a trainee at JP Morgan as one of like in the retail bank. And it was this management trainee and it was a great salary. And I was like 21 and never made any money. So I was like, oh my God, and came from no money. So I grew up in Harlem. Really, really very poverty neighborhood with a lot of very little resources. So for me to be in college was already a big deal. That's the first one in my family. So I'm a first generation college grad from Dominican Republic, which is a big deal. And now I am 21 and this firm is coming throwing at that point. I'll be happy to share my $50,000 to a 21-year-old. It's like
Yes, for a 21-year-old coming out of college with nothing, like you said.
It is like a lot of it. I remember mother being like, what? They're giving you $50,000. I mean, my mom, she was a homemaker, social worker. So she was making like $10 an hour. And to say that I'm coming home making $50, she was like, couldn't believe it. So I thought, you know what?
Yes.
What's the worst that could happen? I can learn some things. I'm one of those people who's always learning at this bank. Banking has always been interesting. It's very close to home. And then after that year, I can just leave because it was a 1-year contract and I'll go get my PhD in psychiatry, right? That was the best plan. Well, I get to the bank.
Yes.
And I love it.
Oh, wow.
God, I get there and the intricacies of the numbers, how they relate with revenue, how did that, maybe school didn't do such a good job of then you're talking to clients. So I was in the retail locations at the branches where you guys, if you walk into a branch today, and understanding how people felt about the money, how they grew their money. So my thing became is like, how do rich people become even richer? And I learned all these incredible things. Well, as time went by, the years went by and the years went by and the years went by. So forget going back to get my
Yes. A lot of work.
I ended up just staying there and moving up and moving up and moving up. Right. But I still have this passion about numbers and understanding all of it, especially because my background was psychology and not business. So I did end up going back to Columbia. So I ended up going to Columbia University and getting a master's in finance in 2020. Makes sense. Of course.
Yeah. Right in the pandemic.
And that was incredibly fascinating. So that's how I ended up like in this whole finance world.
Yes.
It was just one of those things like being there and now it comes up out of nowhere and I actually ended up liking it and numbers actually now make sense. And you're learning about the stock market and all these things. Like I was on Wall Street. That was my location. So it's just.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Cool, exciting place to be. And how it involved all the markets in the entire world and had to rotate around it. It was just really, really awesome to learn.
You know, that's so incredible because you took a chance or risk, some would say. You were very open-minded to go into a whole different industry because, hey, you know, the money was sounding good. So let's be realistic in this. But what I want you to really point out is, tell the listeners, and when we put this article together, what it means to be open-minded to then walk into a whole nother industry that you thought you were not going to like and remain in there. Because you had to have a sense of self and knowing that, oh, let me just try this. And now that has become a career for you.
So risks, right? So you got to take risks in life. So I tell, especially the younger generation, take risks early on, as many as you can. I took a risk that time, but I feel like I could have taken so many more throughout my career there, which, you know, sometimes I would hesitate because I'm a woman and I'm Latina and I would walk into a room and I'm the only one who looks like me.
Yes.
And that can be extremely intimidating, right? And then you will have these feelings of like imposter syndrome and am I in the right place at the right time? But I had an incredible family system. My mom, who was a single mom, who raised three of us, she will always push me to like, yes, you can do this. You got this. We're here for you. And I figured like I already came from the bottom. So how far more could I come?
You're right. It's like, right.
Only go from here. Right. So it was just, I think being open-minded even today, look, I that was 24 years ago. I did 20 years at JP. I'm still taking risks today.
You know?
And it's just part of life. Like,
yes.
Right. You plan for A and B, but really C comes up and you're like, oh, I guess I'm C. I'm doing C.
Right. Right.
And you just got to be willing to be open about it and learn. I'm learning things every day. And now, as things are changing with AI and all these other things that are happening currently in our world, as you know, in the last couple of weeks, it's only been 1 week. God, feels
exactly longer. Since like a longer right. we shall digress on that one.
We have to be able to pivot and just take a deep breath. Okay, how is this going to affect me? Not affect me. What can I do to make sure that I'm still okay, that my family is still okay? Because that's what matters at the end of the day.
Yes. Yeah. And what I like about the part of risk is understanding how big this risk is. And when you said, well, if I came this from the bottom, I mean, I'm certainly not going to go back down lower than the bottom because that's below poverty level. So it's on my way up. Is that what I'm looking at? So you have to measure those risks, right? Mm-hmm. And so before we get into all these questions about money, I think it was important to find out how did you get to where you are now, and then look at some of the risks that you have taken. Let's talk about some of the challenges maybe that you probably have experienced 20 years, you know, being a JP Morgan, a Chase, you know, Wall Street, you know, Latina, you know, some of the risks or challenges that you may have faced could be big or small to others. So let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges.
Yeah, I mean, when you say all those qualities and all those things that I am, and I'm very proud to, and I'm not shy.
Yes, that's right. You got to be who you are.
You know, the fact that when I got to JP Morgan, they didn't even have a Hispanic Latino group. And I was part of that group.
Oh, wow.
That's helped start that, right? Yes. And this is 2000, guys. I'm old.
I know, that's what I was getting ready to say.
I'm old, but not that old. Like, right. I mean, I was at JP in 2001. I started with them. Wow. It wasn't until almost 2006 that we created this group. Yes. And that it really became something that people talk about and realize, hey, we need to do something different here.
Interesting.
So that our customers who are coming in every day reflect also our employee population, right?
Yes.
And also, you know, we realize that these groups of folks need different type of guidance and, and role models that maybe we haven't offered before. So, yes. So I face discrimination. I face the imposter syndrome probably daily for many, many years. I face like trying to overwork, working doubles to prove myself to others. And I just think that's part of us pushing that envelope. So that, for example, my daughter, and so today I have an 18-year-old, can have a better opportunity of having to do less of that.
Right. Yes.
And if you look at our history, unfortunately, we feel like it's been a really long time since some of these changes happened. It really haven't.
No, when you said 2001 and 2006,
right?
That's not too long ago.
And then I remind my daughter that there was barely any computers and we just started with the internet, and she laughs.
Yes, really?
We're still doing tape reconciling every day.
Right.
Yes.
Fax machine.
So people used to make jokes. Oh, you close at 3 o'clock. That's banker's hours. Yeah, because we have to spend 2.5 hours trying to reconcile in paper.
Sure. Yes.
The last several millions that we went through.
Yes.
It's not because you get to go home.
Oh, right. It's the bank has to close early so that they can let the employees leave at a reasonable time, like 6 o'clock.
Correct.
To close at 3.
You're counting manually every time. And they're
oh
like,
my gosh. Oh,
and it was in 2004 that we got Electronic. Okay. So and you think about that today, it's 20 years ago from today.
Yes. Yeah.
20 years.
That's what I'm saying. 20 years ago.
I mean, the change in our industry, in all our industries, has been tremendous.
Yes.
Because of everything, the AI and the computing and the internet. And look at us right now doing this.
Yes, exactly. We wouldn't have been able to do this 20 years ago.
No, not even before the pandemic.
Exactly. It was not as popular even before the pandemic. It wasn't until after pandemic or during the pandemic that whatever they had in place for others who couldn't afford to do this, they were using these platforms, but the world wasn't. And now everyone now is using it.
Right.
And guess what? They have found that it saves them money.
Mm-hmm. Save money, aggravation, time and traffic. I mean, I'm younger because of it. I mean.
Right. Our hair is not as gray.
Not as gray.
Yeah.
So it's just all the adversity you can think about, I definitely experienced. But I didn't shy away from it. I managed through it. I fought through it in the right way so that others have the opportunities to also have a voice. And I think that's what's important.
Yeah. So I like the fact that you said you fall through it so that others can have a voice. And I think this is going to lead me into that next question, because as you know, sometimes when I was at when I formerly was working with my former boss, I didn't really face a lot of discrimination because of, well, who I was working for. But it wasn't until I started my own business in 2013. Now I'm going on 12 years is when I faced a lot of discrimination. And I'm just going to put that out here. So let's talk about what we can do to help the women understand just what you said, how to fight through it. Because you didn't give up. I mean, 20 years, I mean, you probably went, you didn't even probably scale as much as telling us how much of the challenges you faced. You just gave us probably surface. But let's talk about some pointers on how to persevere through it. Because some people give up. They just get aggravated and frustrated. And I don't think that's what we really want women to do. It is going to be hard. I mean, I have tons of stories, as you would have as well. But let's talk a little bit about how do you just stick through it? And, you know, what are those tips and strategies?
I think one of the best one is you got to find a community. And yes. sometimes that could be in the workplace, but sometimes it doesn't have to be in the workplace, mm-hmm. right? You got to find a community because it's much easier for me to deal with that struggle, that adversity, if I can come to you and say, oh my God, have you dealt with this before? What should I do? And you look at me and you're like, yes, you're not crazy. It's okay. I've dealt with this. This is some of the things I did. And this is how you can navigate through it. So for me, I think the number one piece was finding a community. Uh-huh. And because I spent so much time at the bank, I created a community, right?
Oh, wow.
I ended up doing all these, like I was one of the leads for the Hispanic Heritage thing. And because I was looking for that, I needed that to be able to continue and give my voice, right? Seek out others like me that maybe are going through the same thing that we can relate. So I had also this group of women that I would mentor. They would come once a month to my office and I would mentor and we would talk about different challenges and how to overcome them and how to have a conversation because a lot of it is lack of knowledge, right? My mom didn't, yes. didn't go through my mom. My mom had no idea what I was talking about.
Yes.
So it was this new generation of like, we are the first under mm-hmm. this circumstance. How do we manage through it, right? To make sure that we are still holding to our values, right?
Yes.
Because I'm not going to, I'll speak of myself of not the person, that's not who I am, right? Mm-hmm. But yes. I still have to deal with this challenge, right? And not to say anything about the other side, it's all they knew. So mm-hmm. it's not putting blame on them. It's not putting blame on us. It's learning how to integrate yes. and work together because they had the same experience. That's all they know. Mm-hmm. The same way, you know, before we were in that world, this is all we knew. So how yes. do we come together to make a better place for both of us? So it's interesting to know because a lot of the times when you were having more kind of conversation mm-hmm. with that side, you realize, oh, it's because they don't know either.
Yes. They don't.
They don't.
Yes.
Right? So I will always keep that in mind mm-hmm. when things will happen. I would say, I almost got, it's just, they don't know.
Yes.
They're navigating this the first time, just like you are for most of them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that was always one of the things I noticed.
Yes. And I love it because, you know, sometimes they don't know. But that takes us into the question that is going to probably lead the rest of this conversation is learning about money. And then learning about money and when it comes to women. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it because, you know, I've been really waiting about this conversation. We had a little bit of it before we started. And so why is it that women are some, so we won't say all, are afraid to even talk about money?
So I can talk about this all day. and we are seriously afraid to talk about money. And there's a lot of reasons. But if you ask me my personal yes. experience from, hey, I was at JP Morgan the last 4 years, I have now my own company, my own consulting firm. It's because we are afraid / embarrassed. Because we yes. don't know what a 401k, we don't know what type of protection we can get. So we are afraid of what that means because we don't know what it means, right? And then we're mm-hmm. embarrassed because if I am a lawyer and making all this money and I'm successful in what I, how do I go now tell somebody that I have no mm-hmm. idea what a, how to plan for retirement? What do you mean? You're a lawyer. You have a firm. Like, right? So that could be embarrassing to me. And then we don't have the resources. We don't have the education. You know, we had most of our time has been where demand takes over the finances. And then we don't know where to ask. And where, yes. and we don't talk about it enough as women, right?
Yes.
So we need to say, like, it's okay if you don't know what XYZ mean. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for you to ask very open-ended question and very, you know, vulnerable questions because we're here to help. We're here to talk about it. But you, we don't do enough of that.
Yes. Right?
Now, if I see other women talking about being vulnerable, I'm going to be like, oh, okay, maybe I'm not that embarrassed. Let me ask my question. Right.
Yes.
And now I'm taking a lead on, hey, this is really important because money is important.
Yes.
Money is everything we do surrounds money.
Yes.
And we don't want to tell people like I'm embarrassed because I don't know what it yes. is or what to do or what not to do. And that's yes. what happens a lot.
Yeah. And I was just saying, you know, earlier before we started that I had, you know, potential client says, you know, I really just don't know what to ask. And I say, well, I appreciate you being very honest. And that's okay, because I understood that by some of the questions or the circumstance. So let's teach the women what to ask and how to ask it. And let's say you don't have to be embarrassed about it. It's just money.
You don't have to be embarrassed about it. There's no dumb question.
Exactly.
I know sometimes you'll be in school like, is that a dumb question? There's no dumb question, right? Mm-hmm. And I am one of those folks. So in my group, like, any question is valid, because I may ask it and think mm-hmm. it's dumb, but I surely that five other people were thinking and it's just going to want to.
Yes, exactly.
And the other thing that comes up a lot is people think it's complex. It is not complex.
Right? Exactly.
So one of the things that I have developed are the five pillars to your financial freedom. So
yes,
I'm working on a book now. It'll be out this summer that describes the five pillars.
Exciting.
You can follow me on my social media. I talk about the five pillars all the time. So what happened right after JP is the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. At that point, I'm at 20 years or so now. I have a 12-year-old at that point that's like indoors. 2 years, she did her whole middle school in front of a computer. So she was losing her mind. I was losing my mind because we were stuck in this apartment in this mm-hmm. place. And I needed to do something different for my family. So mm-hmm. we decided to move to Miami because it was completely open.
Yay. Yay.
And I said, hey, I need her to have a different experience for high school. Let's go to Florida so that you can attend school in Florida from there. Well, at that point, I couldn't get transfer anything for JP Morgan. So I took another risk, talking about risk, and decided to resign / retire, whatever. I don't like saying retire because then, you know.
Right.
Right. And I moved to Florida with my daughter. And I decided at that point, noticing the lack of education, information, resources with women in particularly, mm-hmm. I decided to open up my own consulting firm. So I have something called Millionaire Latina.
Really? Yes.
To encourage you and empower you to look for those millions. Okay. Mm-hmm. And being a millionaire also within your own context. So whatever that means for you, right? We got to redefine the word millionaire.
Yes.
For some people that may be living on a farm, raising animals, that's fine. For some people maybe not having any debt that makes them feel like a millionaire. For some people maybe having an investment portfolio or whatever it is that means for you. Some people will be meaning 10 million in the bank. Good. That's what a millionaire means to you. Then great. But it is different and unique to everyone. And we have to learn how to do that and tell people it is okay for you to redefine what a millionaire means to you.
Yes.
Okay. And then just figure out what those steps are to get you there. So yes. I created five steps that allow people to follow, to not make it complex, to get you going towards the transition. So step one is the basic. Okay, what is the basic? Savings account, checking accounts, emergency savings, budgeting. And I make my clients do it manually, not using one of these cute apps.
Exactly.
But originally, just like in school, when they made you do that long math problem that took 3 pages, and then they go, oh, but you can just put the numbers in here and it'll pop out. You're like, after you made me write it 3 pages? Because you will never forget the process.
Exactly. Right?
So the basics, those basic things, like, do you know how to balance a checkbook? Do you understand, you know, what the savings should be? How much savings you should have? How much residual income do you have every month after you pay all your bills? What is your net basis, your gross? Why are you paying 21% in taxes? All those little things. Yes. When you're looking at your W-2, why does it say over here, Social Security payment? What? All those things that, hey, yes. Again, we just go into the workforce and get a paycheck and we're like, okay, right?
Right.
What is a 401k? What are other retirement vehicles? So all those basic things mm-hmm. that we need to have a foundation on so that we can take the next step.
Yes.
So that's step one. Step two is one of my favorite ones, making money.
Yes.
Okay, so Jeannie,
probably all our favorites.
So now that I figured out, okay, all the basics about what I have and don't have, how do I make more money? And at the end of the day, you have two categories. You have passive income and you have active income. Mm-hmm. Okay. And these days, there is tons of way of making both, right?
Yes.
Technology has opened up a world that I didn't have access to 25 years ago. Okay.
Yes.
So passive income, make it simple, is the stuff that you don't have to work on it yourself, because time is money. There's actually truth around that.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that too.
It's still generating money for you. So that could be an investment portfolio. That could be homes or investment properties that you have. That could be you set up a TikTok shop and you have it running 24 hours. Then you wake up and, oh, shoot, you made $300 overnight. That is passive thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you have your active one, which could the job you work every day, your W-2, or maybe you're an entrepreneur. You know, maybe you are partnering in multiple business. So this is your active thing. And if we take those things together, right, that's what making money gives you a base dump, because you need to have different ways of making money. It cannot all come from one bucket. In this world today, where we are in 2025, it cannot come from one bucket.
I love it. Oh my gosh, keep going on. It's exciting. Yes. You're right.
Number three. Okay, so now, Jeannie, I have the basics. I'm making money active and passively. What's next? What's next is you have to protect it, and you got to protect yourself, right? So if actively you are working this job, what happens if you stop working that job? How are you going to pay that part of your bills? Because actively now you can... Look, people get into accidents every day. So do you have disability insurance? What do you mean? Mm-hmm. People get into accidents every day, right? Do you have a way to protect that paycheck? No, then that's a problem.
That's right. Because
you're going to lose on that paycheck if something happens, right? So you have disability insurance, you have life insurance, you have health insurance. Believe it or not, I have clients that would not get health insurance. And oh my God.
I know you was like, wait a minute, let's stop this. What?
In a hospital and something major happens, I have seen people go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have health insurance. So there's this whole column, step three of protection. Okay. Of protection, and making sure that all those things that you have worked on really hard are going to be there and are there. Regardless of what happens to you, they're still working and they're going to work.
Yes.
And then you have pillar four, which is kind of like action, activate, right? Because we can have all these conversations and I teach you all these things, but then you do nothing.
This is great. You're absolutely right. People do that.
Back to step one. I was sharing with you earlier that I had a client earlier today, and she said to me, I haven't seen her. We haven't done a consultation like 6-7 months. And she said, oh my God, I got to talk to you. I got to update you. So we had a consultation today. And I'm like, oh my God, how you doing? What's going on? She goes, I did what you told me to do.
Yay.
That's great. But I tell you to do a lot of things. So which one?
Right.
Right. And she goes, so she wanted to build, when I started working with her, she wanted to build a portfolio of investment properties. But her issue was, hey, I don't have the money to go get and pay out and get mortgages and loans for all these investment properties, you know, but that's part of my plan. Like, I really want to build that and have several investment properties that pay me out, you know, rent. I said, well, you don't need the money and you don't need the loans. And she's like, what do you mean? And I told her about this loan out there that you can get. This is for another topic. But the point is that she told me, Jeannie, I did what you told me with the loans. And now I have three investment properties.
Yay.
That I did because of you. And I'm like, oh my God. So she's a perfect example of like, you got to put it into action, right?
Yes.
And she took what I told her, what she had learned, what the coaching with me for the last year. And she put it into action. And now she had her investment properties, like, you know, now she has them. And then, so that's action, right? And if you have to pivot, whatever, that's okay.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yes. And then the last one is legacy.
Hmm.
So step five is legacy.
Yes.
Right? Legacy. And I think it's really important for everybody, right? You want to leave a legacy. Hey, if that for you is your, like, I want to leave a legacy for my daughter so that her and my grandchildren, they have wealth that have accumulated over you. Because that's how you change generational wealth.
Yes. Absolutely.
So it's all the conversation about legacy. Do you have a trust? Do you have a will? Do you have LLC set up? How do you do wealth transfer? Such and such and such.
Yes.
Because again, me passing away doesn't help anybody if I didn't put these things in place.
Absolutely.
I could have done all these amazing things. I have 10 properties here. I have a portfolio here, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't do the right things of creating these legacies and going to someone for an attorney and paying $2,000. Hey, I already have all this stuff that I did to set this up correctly. When I pass, it's going to be a very difficult role for her.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't think we have worked, you have worked all this hard, this long to now it's now she came and get to it and it's going to take 2-3 years and she has to pay taxes that are ridiculous just because I didn't take that last step. So that's why step five is legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's all about informing the next generation, educating the next generation. And then finally, I would say just having this type of communication with your family members and that money is not a taboo situation. It is nothing to be afraid of. And it's nothing to be embarrassed about, because what makes you smarter is when you start asking the questions so that you can get things in order the right way. And that would lead me to this next question is for this generation that's coming up. And it's always known or said that we are consumers, you know, we buy a lot. So can you even talk about how important it is to even look at your buying habit and maybe consider, what can I create to sell versus spending all my money on consuming something?
So that's why pillar one is really, really critical. And that budget is really, really critical.
Yes.
So every single time, and I have quite a number of clients that we've gone through this exercise, everyone has come back. I spend this much on clothes. I spend this much drinking and eating out. I spend, and I'm like, why are you spending $1,800 on drinking, eating out? There's only one of you and there's only 20 days out of the month.
Oh, exactly. Right?
So it is the conscious awareness that we are doing these things that really makes a difference. And then how do we fix it? A couple of things, right? You create a budget. So, hey, Jeannie, it's really important for me. You know, I work really hard for me to buy really nice stuff once a month. Okay, fine. $250 should do it.
Right.
Right?
That's enough. Right.
Okay. You don't need a new shirt every week.
Right.
Right. So doing stuff like a budget, and then, hey, if 3 days later you still want it, okay. And now, is it a need? Is it a want? So there's another exercise. Is it a need or is it a want, right? So I'll give you a perfect example. So in Florida, there's a store called Ross. I don't know if you guys know it, but it's like...
Yeah, we have it here in Chicago.
Well, you do. Okay, we didn't have it in New York, so we got here. So Ross has their annual sale for 49 cents.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that.
And... last year, I missed it, but I did go on the same day and I asked the woman, is this really true? Is there a 49 cent? Because I do like their stuff. I'm a Ross girl.
They have nice stuff. Yeah.
And they have nice stuff and simple. I just go by the shirt. I'm happy.
Right.
No sense of style, according to my teenager, but whatever.
Right.
And she goes, yeah, there really is a 49 cent sale where we put a bunch of stuff on sale, blah, 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 blah. But you got to come look. So my daughter was like, oh my God, this thing is happening on Monday. And my mom, this thing's happening on Monday. We should go. I said, that's fine. We can go. But you need a budget. Like you just need to go on there.
Yes.
And randomly. So I said to my daughter, because she's about to go to college. Okay, what is your budget? She said, my budget is 200. So fine. So just remember that. So she went, we picked up a bunch of stuff. She's ready. Oh, I got all the stuff I want. I said, great. So let's calculate your budget.
Exactly.
Right? And I literally made her stand to the side, take one piece at a time, and add it. Okay.
Exactly.
So you're 89, right? Okay. You're 10. Right. And when she went over, I said, okay, so now you have to decide which of these things you really want and which one you don't.
Right, because you were probably way over $200.
Of course.
Because you got excited.
Exactly. And those are the things we got to do, just as consumers in general, right? I give you a perfect example. Like, you still got your sale. You still went to Ross. She did get some great buys. I do got to say that, right? It took some work, right? You got to really go through the rack.
Right, you really do.
She was able to stick to her budget and still be able to feel like she was a part of it, got the things she needed and really wanted, right? Mm-hmm. So there's all these things that that we can do to kind of control those things. And we just put some perimeters around it.
Yes. The boundaries.
The boundaries.
You know, I was laughing because my nephew / godson, and, you know, when he was younger, 10 or 9, I would take him shopping all the time. And my favorite store is TJ Maxx. And I would say, I'm on a budget. So, and he would say, Auntie, you always on a budget. Hey, you have $20 to spend, and I have X amount of money to spend. So go on the clearance rack. Hindsight, now that he's like 24, going to be 25 this year, he's like, I'm on a budget. And I just laugh. Oh, I bet you are.
Yeah.
Now you see what I mean by that.
Yep.
Being on a budget doesn't mean that I'm broke. It doesn't mean that I don't have any money. It just means when I walk in this store, I know exactly what I'm going to spend.
And then you are conscious about where your money is going. That's all I mean.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You want to know that if I have 200 or 150, I'm going to make sure that that's including the tax. And if I'm over, I'm putting something out of the basket so to make sure that I hit that. So that's creating that discipline. Mm-hmm. And so how hard is it for people to be disciplined? You know, what are some of your experiences with that? Is it very hard, or do you find that people can be disciplined if they're being told?
It's super, super hard, especially now because we have that quick pro quo mindset, right? Like, oh my God, I ordered Grubhub and the food will be here in 20 minutes.
Right? Right.
Everybody's, including me, I'm a corporate bit, right?
Right.
But I think it goes back to what your end goals are. What are your goals, right? Like, my daughter wants to go on a trip this summer. Like, I said, you need to calculate how much money you need, right? And what that's going to look like while you're spending there so that you can start saving today. Right?
Yes.
And it goes back to, like, it's super hard, right? Because she can just go in, buy the tickets, start buying stuff to her list. Like, it takes 2 seconds. I can spend more money in 2 seconds than I can make it.
Exactly.
We heard it today. Back then, it was like, oh, I had to walk to the store. We did not spend because we didn't want to walk to the store. But now, like, Shein is her favorite place. Thank God.
Right. So you can go online. They made it easy for us.
It is super easy.
Yeah. You don't even have to get in a car, get on a bus or a train. Mm-hmm. It could be right at your doorstep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that really gets a lot of people too. It's like, oh.
And that's what gets a lot of people, I think. And like I said, I think it's just being conscious of what you are wanting and putting a plan around it. That really makes a difference because it's super, super easy.
Yes. So what do you say to women that would listen to this or read it and say, yeah, that all sounds good, but I can't do it. I'm in so much debt, or I tried it over and over and it just won't work. So what do you say to people like that?
I would say I get that all the time. Hey, I have no assets. I'm in so much debt. Hey, we all been there. I've been there.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. Just because I worked at a bank and had a great career does not mean I was not in debt. I'm not in debt, right? I have other businesses now, so I'm in debt there. But not all debt is bad.
Bad. There you go. I was getting ready to say, that's not bad debt.
Not all debt is bad. So you got to understand the difference between bad debt and then debt. Okay?
Yes.
Not all debt is bad. That's one. Two, making small changes can change your life.
Mm. Making those small changes. Yes.
You're one of those people that buy $7 lattes from Starbucks every day. I can calculate 7 times 5 is $35 a week. Okay, times 4, you're talking about like $142 a month. That you can put on a Roth IRA when you can make such as good ass coffee in your house.
Exactly.
So they're small. That's why I say small changes go a long way. And number three, like anything else, if you look at the top people in the world, you need a coach.
Can you say that loud enough?
A coach.
Yes. Great.
You know, great athletes do not become great athletes because they do it by themselves.
That's right.
They have a coach.
Yes. So many people. Yes. I have mentors and still have them. Yeah.
We have mentors.
Yes. Coaching you through these situations. Absolutely. Right.
Everybody needs a coach. You want to get fairly good at something, you need a coach. You need somebody else that's done it, that understands it, that's willing to help you and look at you and say, hey, try this and that. Right? Yes. Like someday I'm going to take up golfing. I'm not just going to show up at the tee time and start hitting the ball.
No. No, because I'm a golfer. You can't do that. You need somebody to help. And I'd have had two or three of them.
Right.
Yes.
You need a coach. You want to learn and get school, right? I got good at finance because I went to school.
Yes.
I got better at it. I got good at it because I was in an environment that's all people did. You need a coach.
Yes. Yes.
So those are my tips on that piece.
Yeah. For the people who would make up the excuses. Oh, you know, it sounds good, but it doesn't work for me. Or I don't want to do it because I have so much debt. And, you know, but you just need a coach to help you get out of there. And the willpower and the courage. And you got to, because it's excuses.
When I'm texting you saying, oh, how's that budget doing today? You
know, yes.
Right. You were in my voice when I was at Ross buying that today.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, bad. That's important.
And I love what about coaching too is I'm not your sister. I'm not your cousin. I'm not your mom. Right. I don't work with you. I'm not your co-worker on the side.
Right.
But I'm this other person that understands and is trying to help you. But I'm not going to look over while I'm at work in my cubicle and you're looking at me like, oh, crap. Like she knows. Right.
Right.
And I'm not going to run and tell your mom, you know, she screwed up this month. Right.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So that's the other thing I like coaches, because there are this other entity part of your boardroom.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm not a direct line to like, okay, she's going to tell my mom I have no money. Like that's embarrassing. Right. to like your really, you know, interpersonal relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sends a different message when you have a coach, because that's someone who's going to tell you the truth. That really, really wants to help you do better because they see something in you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I do for my clients that I have to coach. It's just like, I know you can do this. So I'm going to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be hard on you because I know you can do it.
Yep. And I tell them all the time, you're going to hate me the first couple months a lot. But I'm okay with that.
Right. I love it. I love it. So what about the future of money and ladies and women? What do you see happening? You know, do you see more women getting more informed and educated, or do you see it digressing down? So what's the future?
So my hope is, at least I'm doing my little, I'm adding my little stone in the pond, I guess, right? Is with this book, with, you know, more social media, more visibility on YouTube, and not just me, ladies, and whoever's listening. There are tons of people out there that are doing amazing things. Is that you now have the ability to educate yourself much more easier than we have ever before. So just go on YouTube, go on TikTok, and put finances, and you'll get all the stuff. I mean, yes, I hope that you come and call me and you become my client. But at the end of the day, all I want you to do is get better and learn and be able to say, hey, I'm a little bit better today, or I know a little more than I did yesterday.
Yes.
That's it. And if you get that from me or someone, it doesn't matter. The point is that as we do this collectively over time, you really start seeing the shift. And the shift are happening quickly. Like, you should know about Bitcoin. Because like it or not, that is a thing, and it's going to become a bigger thing.
Oh, yes.
The world evolves.
Yeah. Bitcoins. Yeah. I haven't got into it, but I've kind of been seeing it. So,
right.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Yes. And how AI will play a part in this whole thing, and how AI is going to play a part in investment and portfolio management, and how AI is going to predict what the next 5, 10, 20 years are going to look like. And you need to be listening, like, all the changes that are happening. I have a feeling a bunch of changes are going to happen around our tax laws in the next 2 or 3 weeks, right? And if you're smart enough, you're going to take advantage of these things, but you got to be listening for these things. And like I said, I don't care where, just make sure the information is reliable and resourceful.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, reliable and resourceful, yes.
Because there is a lot of misinformation, right? But find people that you resonate with, that what they're saying to you makes sense, and start learning a little bit every day.
Yeah. And you're right. Because it's social media, it's so much information. Now you have to discern what's really authentic information, what's really quality, you know, content. And then, you, like you said, you have to ask around to make sure you're getting the right information. Because sadly, people misuse that opportunity, you know, that platform to misinform individuals.
Yeah.
I love that. So what, how can people find you? Talk a little more about the book, when it's going to be released, the website, all of that good stuff.
Sure. So the book, definitely this summer, it'll be released. And if you follow me on my social media, there'll be tons of like publicity around it. So for IG, I have two of them. So if you just look up my name, Jeannie Marmos, just like it's spelled on the screen, that comes up. And that gives you that social media. And then I also have on IG, Millionaire Latina. So if you put Millionaire_Latina, then that comes up with like the tips specifically for the book and the 5 steps that we talked about. And I also have, and like I said, make it simple, 2 websites. Yes. So if you look up www.jeanniemarmo.com, I come up. And it gives you all the stuff there. And the same thing for Millionaire Latina. So www.millionairelatina.com. That's also my website. Also has all the stuff around the book and the Millionaire Latina. So you can follow me there. And if you want to go deeper, LinkedIn, looked up my name.
Yes.
And you see all my stuff on LinkedIn as well. So please follow me. Join me, send me DMs, send me questions.
Yes.
I'll be more than happy to help answer. If I don't have the answers, I'll send you someone that has the answer. I have a lot of resources in my last that have built throughout my career.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, I just really want to help. And I'm hoping that you learn one thing and it helps you to move forward.
Yes. I mean, I just love it. I see the power of women becoming more millionaires because you really do care. I feel so connected to you because I get it. And I'm so appreciative that we met in Puerto Rico last year. You are more phenomenal than I just, there's a difference. I don't know what that is from last year, but I get it. And I'm so appreciative. And I'm hoping we can continue doing something to impact the lives of women.
Absolutely. Count me in.
Yes, this is great. Thank you for joining us at the Women Who Empower Quarterly Fireside Chat. Together, we've shared stories, sparked ideals, and strengthened our community of trailblazing women. Keep the fire burning by staying connected and continuing the conversation. Until next time, remember, your voice, your story, and your dreams hold the power to inspire and uplift the world. See you at our next Fireside Chat.